You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today, this episode is for the girls who are worried about their timeline. This one is for the girls who feel or maybe have felt like she's falling behind in life, whether in love, career, friendships, milestones, the big things, the small things. We are unpacking the pressure of timelines. We're talking about how to reclaim your pace, because I've been there, I've done that. We're talking about why your story is not late, because again, been there, done that. I'm going to share my journey with my timeline, because I think that it's really important. I think that's really like relatable for girls to hear, because any girl who has followed me from way back when, you know, when I started being on social media, when I was always single, they know that I never was in a relationship, all that stuff. But I feel like people follow me now. They know that I'm engaged. They know that I'm getting married. And I always get questions and comments, you know, about like, you know, what do I do? I'm running out of time. How do I meet someone? Can you give me advice on how to meet someone faster? That's actually kind of how this episode was inspired and how it came to be, because I made a TikTok answering a question. The question was, should I continue to see someone that I know is not my person, or am I blocking my blessings? Then I shared my story time to do with that, which then led to them saying, can you give me advice and tips on how to get closer to meeting my person? And it's like, if you know me, you would know, like, I can't tell you that, because look how long it took me to find mine. So we're going to unpack all of that. And I want everyone to hear this journey and this story, even though it's from years ago, it's still relevant because it's how I got to the place that I'm at now. And yeah, we're just talking about all things, letting your timeline unfold, believing that it's unfolding on the right time, because society and social media, people like me, anyone that you see sharing, you know, where they're at in their life now, like when we post or when you see whatever you see and this and that, like we then create expectations in our heads and we create this illusion of the right timeline. And then we start to see what other people have that we don't have and where they're at. And that somehow connects to where we're not at. And it is so unrealistic for us to compare ourselves. Like, this episode is not even about comparison, but of course I have to bring up comparison because we compare ourselves to other people, yet we would never walk in their shoes a day in our lives, a day in their lives. So how do you compare to people who are on a completely different journey than you? But we do. And we find ourselves at one point or another sitting back and looking at our life and questioning, like, shouldn't I be ahead by now? Shouldn't I be further by now? Why is everybody around me getting engaged, getting married, getting promoted, having kids, and I'm not? What am I even doing with my life? Where am I going? What do I want for my life? I think I know what I want for my life, so why am I not getting it? Because I've been so sure all this time. Like, we have these questions and we have these feelings of being behind and of being uncertain and unsure as to where things are going. So today we are unpacking and talking about that very, 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 very real and very human. It's very normal and very common to have the feeling of falling behind. I feel like we all come up with these timelines. We write ourselves these timelines. They are completely made up. They are completely make-believe, but it's like, graduate by 22 years old, get engaged, you know, be in a relationship then, and then get engaged at around 23, 24, married by 25, and then I start having kids when I'm married. So like, you're starting to do the kids 25, 26, 27, 28. Like, the plan is to be fully done with the marriage and kids by the time that you're 30. So by the time you're 29, you do all that, like you're done with all that. So now you're 30, you have the husband, you have the kids, you have the house, you have the secure career, you have the financial stability, you have the Pinterest perfect, Pinterest worthy, picture perfect life. Really? Really? And I'm sure that that happens for some people. I am never one to say something is not possible. Of course, anything is possible. And of course, that life is meant for some people. Of course it is. But if it's not meant for you, then is the pressure of this made-up timeline worth it? No, that timeline isn't real. It's made up by us. No one gave this to us. So you're not where you are, or let's say this, you're not where you made up in your own imagination where you thought you would be by now. Riddle me that, okay? That's cool. That's fine. I'm not where I thought I would be because that's not a real thing. I made it up. There is no rule book. There is no universal age to meet someone, to fall in love, to get married, to have kids, to have the house, to figure it all out, to figure life out. Some people are changing their career at 30, 40, 50. They're just starting over. They're just getting started. They're just starting now to do what makes them happy. You know, they went to college, they did the thing because they felt like they're supposed to, and you know, they follow, again, these made up societal things that we create. And it's like, yeah, I'll do this and that. And then they go through that for a decade or two. And they're like, yeah, no, this is not for me. Not happy. Let me try it over. Let me start again. Like, and so what? So what? That doesn't mean your life is any less valuable. That doesn't mean that you don't have good things going for you just because you're starting over again. So what? At least you know that happiness is on the way. It's en route right now. It's in the mail right now. Because now you're taking the steps toward doing the things that you genuinely and truly want to do. Even if that means starting from scratch, starting from zero at 30 years old. So what? Who gave you this timeline that you're chasing? You did. And guess what? Our overall life's journey is bigger than we are as people. We are just people here on earth. I'm not going to start to get all like trippy because sometimes I like start to like really spaz out and I'm like, what even is earth? What even are we? I feel like everybody goes through that, but sometimes I like really start to think too much and I'm like, what is everything? But really, truly, like we are just people. And then like our life's journey is so much bigger than that. So who are you or who are we to say where we should be by now? The only goal that we should be focused on in life, because we cannot control our life's journey, we cannot determine what our journey is meant to be. It's already like whatever's meant to be is already written in the stars for us, and it's just gonna play out and unfold that way. So the only goal that we should have in our lives should be growth. That should be the only thing. Always focusing on growing, always focusing on stepping into our best self, being our best self, growing closer to who that version of ourselves is. And guess what? Growth, it's like a roller coaster. It comes in waves. There's highs, there's lows. Growth is not determined by timelines and checklists and what someone else is doing. Like you can be growing at the same exact time as someone, but in completely different directions. Like, because what she's growing toward and what you're growing toward are two completely different things. So hers could be school and yours could be romance. Like you could be growing by going on dates and meeting more people and, you know, building your confidence and raising your standards and becoming a pro at dating. And you have your career down pat and you're solid and secure in your finances. Whereas somebody else is solid and secure in their relationship. They are married maybe, and they, you know, that's like all said and done, but they're not set on what they're going to do in their career and in their life. And they, you know, are in their growth season by going back to school or trying a new career, trying a new industry, a new field, going for a promotion. Like, and you're doing it at the same time, you know, you're doing it simultaneously. You're completely parallel, yet you're going in completely separate directions. Who's to say who's ahead? It's not a thing. So you created this timeline. You created this checklist. You do not need to now put the pressure on yourself of saying, this is how life has to go. This is what life has to look like. Again, it's bigger than us. Everyone has different things going on. Everyone's going to go through highs and lows. Sometimes when you're in a season of life where you feel like nothing is happening, you're like, I've seen no progress, nothing is changing around me, that is when the most important inner work is being done. The things that you don't see. So it's all internal. You may be seeing nothing changing externally. So you're like, but my timeline, my this, my that, like I'm not there. Yet on the inside, you are elevating to that 2.0 version of you. And something that you may be going through may be delaying the result of something else, but delays often mean protection, redirection for a reason, because it's taking you where you're supposed to be. So you may have had this whole plan, and I'm going to tell you what my whole plan was, and I'm going to share this whole journey of my situation, because you may have been in the situation that I was in. You have this whole plan. When I do this, then this will happen. When I go here, then this will happen. As soon as I accomplish this, it's over for everybody. I'm going to be here. And then there's a delay. And then you're like, wait, but now I'm starting over. Now I'm redirected. Now you're being protected for a reason. And I promise this is not to say like, stop putting pressure on yourself to want more for yourself. Because you're absolutely entitled to wanting more. That's the entire concept of this show. Like, what if I can have it all? This is all about striving for more, pushing yourself, you know, to have everything that you want in life. You are allowed to want more. But what it is to say is to take the pressure off of whatever more is for you, because we do not get to control the timeline. We do not get to control when we receive something. So push yourself and allow yourself to want more, but without the need to control and without that feeling of constant pressure of like, I'm not where I thought I would be. Now, let me share my journey. I'm going to explain all of this to you. So like I said, I had this timeline in my head that I would graduate and then meet somebody and then be engaged, you know, 23, 24. I was for sure, like, I will never forget, you know, when like you say something so out of pocket and so crazy to someone like years and years and years ago, and it like haunts you to this day, like you continue to have secondhand embarrassment, and that person probably doesn't even remember that thing, or maybe they do, which is a terrible thought to even think that she can remember that I said this to her. But I remember it. I was in college. I might have been, let's say I was 19. I might have been like a sophomore in college. And I was waitressing on my like, you know, off season of school, whatever you call it. Like when you have your breaks, I would waitress like in the winter, in the summer when I would like come home for break and whatever. And there was a girl, such a nice girl, who literally right after this met someone, got married, had kids, like she did it all way before me, but she was 24 at the time. So I was like 19. Yeah, 19 or 20. She might have been like 4 or 5 years older than me. And I just remember she was single at 24 and she was like texting with guys and like, you know, we were coworkers. So we would like talk, you know, about things like that. And I remember being like, this is my nightmare. Like if I'm not married by 24, like if I'm still like single and dating with this, like, oh my God. Like I was basically, you know, obviously projecting because that was my like fear, but I was like kind of making her feel bad about her life. Like I just remember saying like, I will die if I'm 24 and still single. If I'm not married by then or engaged by then, like I'll have failed. Like I'm saying all this to her, talking about my feelings about my life, But that was the reality of her life, that she was single and dating. And then I'm not even kidding. I feel like it was right after that that she met a guy, and then they like got married, had kids. And guess who was still single? Me. But I had so much pressure on myself that I wanted to be, you know, have it all said and done. And by the time that I was the age I am now, thinking by the time that I'm 30, like I said before, house, kids, husband, money in check, life in check, the whole Pinterest worthy picture perfect life. I was certain I had so much pressure on myself that that was going to happen. And I was not open to any other way. Like, that was it. I didn't want to even have a plan B. But guess what? Life gives you the plan B, and life gives you the plan C and D and E. Life will actually give you plan Z if it had to, because it's just like, what are you going to do? You cannot control the way that things turn out. You can only control the controllables, and 9 out of 10 times, things are not within your control. So after college, and I was in so much of a rush to get things done early that I graduated early. I actually graduated at 21. I graduated when it would be my junior year rather than my senior year. I took extra classes. I did extra credits. Like, I did every possible thing that I could do to just like get my life moving faster. I was like, all right, if I graduate at 21, then I'm working in the city at 21. And then like, I'll for sure meet someone, you know, at 21, 22, like I'll meet a guy, you know, on the bus or in the city, like on the train, like whatever. Like I was sure that was going to happen. Granted, I graduated, moved, you know, back home to my hometown in my parents' house. And I was living there for a little bit, and every single guy sucked. I'm like, oh, this one's terrible. This one's terrible. Like, I was just having terrible dating experiences, not getting any closer to feeling like I was meeting my person. And what I felt at that age and at that time, you know, 22, 23, was like, I really wanted to broaden my horizons, and I really wanted to expand my life and just like expand my mind, expand my surroundings, meet new people, travel, explore, you know, everything. And so that's when I decided to move. For the first time, I moved out of my parents' house for the very first time, and I got on a plane and I moved to Florida. I moved to Tampa. I didn't like ease into it. I didn't like move out of my parents' house and like stay in the same city or like go to Manhattan. Like, I fully booked it, you know? So I moved to Tampa, and of course I like loved it, and I was really romanticizing it because it's like, wow, like I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing the thing. And when I was living in Tampa, I became the most like financially successful. Like, I made the most money that I've ever made in my life. I was like really building my business. I had a great lifestyle out there because Tampa is a great place to live. Like, if anyone is looking to move around, like Tampa, I really recommend it. It was perfect for me at that time. And I was meeting guys and I was talking to guys and I was dating, but like, I always just felt like something's like missing, you know, like I loved it there and I really liked it. But as I was getting older, you know, I moved at 23. So I was living there like 23, 24. I believe I turned 25 living there because I stayed there for 2 years. So yeah, like 23, 24, 25. I was like really starting to lean into like honoring my feelings and saying, you know, like maybe this isn't the right place for me, you know? And I really liked what I was doing there because I was doing a lot of personal development. I was growing. I was exploring and expanding like I hoped I would. And I was learning the lessons that I needed to learn. And there were things about myself that I had to grow out of. And I feel like Tampa was that place for me to grow out of it, because I feel like when I was living in Tampa, I was very like, you know, didn't take any bullshit, like especially with business. It's like, no time for partying, no time for TV, like get your head down. And like, granted, like, I don't believe that way now, but like, I'm grateful that I was that way because I like learned a lot from that experience. And like, I just felt like, you know what, I need to make a change, you know, like I'm not doing things right. And so packed up after 2 years and I moved to Miami, Florida. And, then I was like, okay, now I got it figured out. Like, I felt like, all right, I'm starting over. Now I'm 25. Okay. And according to the timeline I had set for myself originally, I was supposed to be married and starting to pop out kids at 25. So now I'm starting from zero at 25, new city, new people, new everything. But I started to, you know, my mindset started to expand again, and I started to do different sort of personal development, and I stopped putting so much pressure on myself to like be like drill sergeant with business and start like enjoying business more and enjoying getting out of the house more and not focusing so much on, you know, work. And I did start to date more guys, and the dating experiences were certainly better because I was a little bit more into my personal life than I was prior. Like when I was in Tampa, I was meeting guys and whatever, but like I couldn't give any of them the true time of day that they were looking for. There was one guy who like really wanted more from me, but business came first. And I just was like, okay, you're not the one. And granted, he wasn't the one, but like, you know, that was on me really, because I was just like, that was the season of life I was in. But when I was in Miami, I was like, no, I got myself a separate work phone. So in Miami, I really started to say, you know what, I'm going to have a personal phone and a work phone instead of like meshing everything into one life and like work is everything. Like, let me start to like have a little bit more fun. So I had a lot more fun in Miami than I had in Tampa. And I was like, okay, this is going to be my place. I wanted Miami to be my place so bad. I wanted Miami to be my forever place because it's just like, it was great. I had an amazing experience. I was having so much fun. But at the same time, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Because why do I still feel like something is missing? I was really searching for that feeling of home, and I just couldn't find it. Like I felt very out of place often. I felt like I had friends, but these weren't like my friends. Like I was friends with people, but it wasn't like my group. Like I felt like I didn't have the friends that I could really just like sit on the couch and not even talk to, like us just hanging out and not even like speaking to each other. Like I felt like I didn't have the people that I could say anything and everything to. I felt like I could have good conversations and like I liked everybody, but it was like I didn't feel like I could be 100% myself, 100% unfiltered, you know? And I'm just like, something is still off. Like I'm not, this is just not my place. Now, a couple things were going on. So one, yes, I was going out on dates. This is the first time I was actually using dating apps. Beforehand, I was not using dating apps. I was just like meeting guys out. So I like really started to like get into like the crux of dating. I was like becoming more intentional with dating. And simultaneously, I was working with a love and manifestation coach. So now this is 2021. I was turning 26. And I was really like, I really wanted to meet my person. And I always did, right? Because I always wanted to get married and have kids. Like that never changed. I always was like, I want to be a wife. I want to be a mom. Like that was that. But I was more mature and intentional about it in the sense of like, I became aware of what I had been doing wrong beforehand, where like, I didn't like make time for guys. I didn't make guys feel special. Even if they liked me, I would just be like, no, I have to work, like end of story. And so this love and manifestation coach, she's not a dating coach. She doesn't like teach you how to date. She doesn't set you up with guys. It's all on you to do the work, but it's more of her helping you come to like the realization of who you want to be, helping you step into your 2.0 self. Like I always talk about the 2.0 you. Actually, I interviewed her on this podcast years ago. She's one of the first people that I interviewed. Crystal Earham. So is her name, Crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L. So if you do want to hear that podcast, it is old, so I don't know how timely and relevant it is, but it is all the way back on For the Girls. If you just search, you know, Crystal, she'll come up. That episode will come up. Anywho, so I was working with her, and the whole premise of working with her was talking about where I'm at in life, what I'm doing, and like where I want to be and what I want and what I see for myself, and like her helping me channel that version of myself to get there. Now, I had met a guy in Miami that I was seeing, and he did not check all my boxes, but he checked some of them, and I didn't like him that much, but he really liked me, and I knew he was not my person, but I spent time with him because I had no one else on the roster and I had nothing else going on. And like, you know, I felt like, why not? I'm bored. I don't have other plans. I'm not seeing anybody else. I have nothing to lose here. I have literally nothing invested in this because I know this guy is not my person. I know this is not going to be my husband. But I live here and I'm young and I'm dating and it's like whatever. And that's just like what you do, you know? And I remember, and I also remember like thinking like it didn't matter because I'm like, I don't have feelings invested. I know he's not my guy. So like I didn't have high standards when it came to this person because it's like I didn't care. So I felt like it does not matter. Sure, he doesn't check all my boxes, but it doesn't matter because I'm so single that like whatever, I'm not looking to make this guy my boyfriend. And you know, there were things that we weren't aligned on and we weren't compatible about, but it didn't matter because I knew he wasn't my person. So I just kept saying it didn't matter and I did not raise my standards when dating at, you know, in this time, because to me it was like casual and it just did not matter. So now whenever my next like sessions were with Crystal, I brought him up and I had told her I'm seeing this guy, but I don't really want to spend time talking about him or it on this session. I don't even want to waste time depicting it and breaking it down because I know he's not my person. I would rather spend my time talking about what I do want and what I am looking for. And I want this and this and this and this. And I don't want anything really to do with this guy long term. He's just someone that I'm casually seeing. And it doesn't matter. And she called me right out and she's like, hold on. You're doing all this work. You're spending the money. You're investing the time. You have these goals, you have these dreams, you have all of these things that you say that you want for yourself, but you're so unaligned. Like, why would you even hang out with him again? Why would you even agree to plans and spending time with him if you know it's not what you want? You're here trying to get what you want, but at the same time, you're living your life accepting what you don't want. So how are you going to call in what you do want? It doesn't make sense. Like she called me right out. And I remember that call like it was yesterday because what came next changed my life. And the breakdown that I went through from this created the biggest breakthrough that I ever had in my life.
If you're obsessed with romantasy like I am and searching for a book series that combines monster romance, epic fantasy, and a love story that hurts in the best possible way, you need to pick up The Throne of Broken Gods by Amber V. Nicole. This is the second book in the best-selling Gods and Monsters series, following Diana, a powerful shapeshifter bent on revenge, and Sam Keel, the immortal god king who was once her enemy. This series just totally does it for me because of its emotional depth. I love damaged hero energy, which is exactly what you get with Sam Keel, who's powerful enough to shake worlds, but still refuses to give up on the woman he loves. If you love slow burns, enemies to lovers, forced proximity, incredible banter, high-stakes fantasy, and morally gray characters, you'll want this on your TBR immediately. So pick up The Throne of Broken Gods by Amber V. Nicole wherever books are sold in print and in ebook.
My bookworm girls are going to love this, especially if you're anything like me and you love when your reads get under your skin and you have no idea what's coming next and the suspense won't let you put the book down. That is definitely The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith, and you need to get your hands on it immediately. It's a domestic suspense thriller where nothing is quite as it seems. It has everything you want in a suspense novel: secrets, lies, emotional damage, and the deeply unsettling feeling that somebody absolutely should not be trusted, and of course, an affair. This book is pretty much one that takes the whole shiny, romantic, my husband is my rock idea and just casually sets it on fire, because beneath all the picture-perfect appearances, The Wedding Vow is packed with tension, deception, and the kind of twists that make you stop and go, oh wow, so everyone here is making terrible choices, which for me is of course ideal reading. Imagine realizing you don't know your husband at all, and the truth and shocking secrets are a lot more dangerous than you'd ever imagine. This book is full of that addictive thriller energy where you think you know what's going on, and then the author basically leans in and says, "You really thought, huh?" So if you like books by Geneva Rose or even Freida McFadden that keep you on the edge of your seat, then you are going to love this one. The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith is available now wherever books are sold, so go grab your copy today.
If you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify makes it so easy to make it happen. Everything you need to start selling is included and ready from day one, including the moment your first customer is ready to pay. Shopify checkout not only helps them finish their purchase, but when they come back, their details are already saved, making it easier and easier for returning customers. One tap and they're done. It brings so much peace of mind knowing the whole getting paid part is already figured out for you and is nothing to stress over. And because Shopify handles the setup and checkout for you, you have more time to focus on growing your business and the tools to do it. And that's exactly why Shopify is the powerhouse behind millions of businesses worldwide, from household names like Skims and Rode to small businesses just getting started, just like yours. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business. So go make it one. So start your free trial at shopify.com/forthegirls. Start your free trial at shopify.com/forthegirls.
My mind blew. My eyes opened. Everything. Talk about expansion. I kept looking for expansion. This conversation led to the expansion of everything. Like, my standards went through the roof. My mindset through the roof. I elevated everything about myself. I changed everything about myself. And what I had done next was break my lease and leave Miami, because I knew that I was constantly chasing this feeling of home, yet I was constantly living in a place where it didn't feel like home. You know, so to me, it was like, I'm seeing a guy who I know is not my husband, and I really want to meet my person, but I know this guy is not my person, yet I'm spending time with him. What kind of message am I putting out into the world? What kind of signals am I sending? Simultaneously, I'm searching for and I'm longing for this feeling of home, but I'm living full time, 24/7, in a place that does not feel like my home. I had this beautiful apartment that was $4,300 a month, yet it didn't feel like mine. I certainly was the one paying the bills. I certainly was the one living there, yet it did not feel like it belonged to me. It didn't feel like my home. Again, what kind of message am I putting out there? I'm doing this all wrong. Like, this conversation of me just simply saying, yeah, I'm seeing this guy, but I don't want to waste time on this session talking about him because he's not my guy. Let's talk about what I do want in my guy. That conversation led to me realizing I am doing this all wrong. Now, at this point, I'm 26 and I'm starting all over again. It's like this. So I stayed in Miami for basically exactly a year. I went in October and I left in like September. I think I might have moved out in September, then moved into my new apartment in October. So it was like almost exactly a year that I stayed in Miami. And why I say I broke that lease is because guess what little old me did? I signed a 2-year lease. What happened was when I moved into Miami, I signed the lease for 1 year. And then the girl who I signed the lease with texted me and was like, "Will give you a little bit of a better deal," or something of the sort. Like, they were doing something for me with my lease if I signed a 2-year lease, and you have 24 hours to decide that, and we will void your original lease, that contract, cancel it out and start again. And I was like, I'm definitely going to do 2 years here. I love this place. I'm going to do more. I actually feel like I asked her, like, can I sign a 3-year? And she was like, no, we only do 2. So can you freaking imagine? So I signed the 1 year. That was what my first instinct was. And when she texted me that, I originally was like, no, I'm not going to. But then right at like the 24-hour mark, I was like, fuck it. I'll get a better deal and I'm definitely going to stay for 2 years. So I canceled that and I signed the 2 year. So when I at 1 year had this breakthrough of realizing I need to get to that feeling of home. I cannot stay here any longer. Yeah. Cost me $20,000 to break that lease. Cause I had to pay a bunch of different fees. I had to pay like 2 more months of rent. And then there was a fee that I owe. There was like a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, also my security. I didn't get back my security deposit. Like shit like that. Cost me $20,000. On top of that, of course, what do you think it cost me for movers to go from packing up 3 bedrooms in Florida to bringing those 3 bedrooms to Jersey? $10,000. And then what do you think it cost me to sign the new lease? Because when you sign a new lease, you don't just say, okay, I'm in and I'll just start to pay rent. No, you got to pay 3 months rent because it's like first month's rent. And then last month, I don't remember if last is one with security. I know I paid a security and I know I paid first and last. And I also know that I paid half of a month for the realtor because I had a realtor get me that apartment. So I either paid 2 or 3 months of rent and half of a month of rent for my realtor. All in all, I mean, we're looking at $30,000+ because of this breakthrough. What does that tell you? That tells you that I was seriously trusting my gut, seriously listening to my intuition, because you don't just make moves like that for nothing. And I was really honoring myself and I was really honoring my feelings and I was really paying attention to what felt like it was missing and lacking and really doing what I needed to do to fill those voids. And when I tell you, spending that money felt like the best thing I ever did. I never felt so good spending so much money. Money on shit for nothing because it's like I'm paying these fees to break the lease. Like, what is this money going toward? Nothing. Thin air. Yet I felt amazing spending that money because I immediately, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I was like, I'm coming home. The feeling hit me already. I actually, in that time of like between breaking my lease and signing the new lease for Hoboken and paying the money, you know, while still being, you know, finishing out my month in Miami, like I actually was like, you know what? I do love it here even more. Like, because I felt so much better. I was just so much happier that I started to like romanticize. I'm like, maybe Miami is my place. And it's like, no, that's just the exciting, optimistic feeling that I have from what is, you know, to come next. Like, I just felt so good. It felt amazing. And that's what happens when you make very, very hard decisions because you know that it's the right thing to do for yourself. So now, fast forward, I moved to Hoboken. And I moved to Hoboken a completely different person than I left Miami as. I was not taking any bullshit when it came to dating. Like, I was not wasting any time. I wasn't wasting my time, a man's time. I was very clear on my communication. I was very clear on what I wanted. I was very vocal and out there on what I was looking for. My standards were now, you know, super high. I said what I meant and I meant what I said. I said yes when I meant yes and I said no when I meant no. And if it was a place I didn't want to go, then I wouldn't go. And I didn't like to go for drink dates because I didn't even really drink. I was pretty much sober at the time. But when I was living in Miami and I just felt like it didn't matter, yeah, I would go out for a drink even if I didn't drink because it did not matter. And then I finally had that breakthrough and I was like, no, it does matter because every single thing that I accept right now as we speak determines what I receive. I can't receive anything better than what I accept if this is what I accept, if I will settle for shit I don't want, if I settle for places I don't want to go and I settle for people I don't want to spend time with. So when I moved to Hoboken, that's when, you know, the wheel started to turn. I became really confident and comfortable in dating and like so confident and comfortable in myself. This is around the time where I started to even make TikToks too. I moved, like I said, in like October. Then I think I got on TikTok in January of like the next year, right before I turned 27. So I started, you know, talking about dating, my opinions, my experiences. This is where a lot of my followers came from. The podcast was only a few months old, I think, at this time, because I started the podcast in August of 2021. And that was a big thing too, because I didn't even mention that when I was living in Miami, yes, I was still working and like doing what I was doing to pay the bills, obviously, but I did feel this calling, like, because I was longing for that feeling of home so much and just like wanting to just feel good. Like, I also was really starting to lean into like what my passion project would be and what I wanted. And so while living in Miami, that's when I was working on and launched, or in the process of launching, Vixen the label. So obviously that's not a thing really anymore, but you know, that came as a result of having lived in Miami and like feeling like there's more for me, you know, like I don't want to just do this. Like, I want to really do my passion. So like, I was like designing and launching that brand, Vixen the label. And simultaneously, I came out with For the Girls podcast. And I will never forget when I came out with the podcast. It was August 2021. And I sat my booty at my computer desk and I recorded 5 episodes. All in one shot. Like, I spent like a day writing up all the notes for those 5 episodes. And then I spent a day like recording all those 5 episodes. Like, I was so excited. I had so much on my mind. I had so much that I wanted to say. And I was just like, and that's what really started to make me feel good. And of course, so like, I launched the business. I launched the podcast. I was doing the work with Crystal. I was starting to trust my gut and my intuition. And that's, you know, in September is when I broke the lease. So September is when I moved out, because I know I moved in October in Hoboken. So, you know, August, September, like that period of my life, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Making hard decisions, making changes in my business, in my work that felt more aligned with my personal passions and my passion projects, moving my location, like doing the hard thing, you know? And so that was that season. So then when I had moved to, you know, Hoboken, now I had the podcast. Now I have the brand, like I had everything, like all the things that I set up for myself in Miami, I now had in Hoboken. I was happy as a clam. I was happier than ever and started to do the TikToks. A lot of you girls have found me from that period where I was like sharing my dating experiences and talking about the high standards and all that stuff. And I was constantly saying how I never got upset. I never felt bad. I never had a scarcity mindset. Like, when dates, you know, didn't work out, I wasn't like, oh, but I really wanted it to be with that guy. Like, oh, I was hoping he was the one. Like, no, it would make me excited. I felt so abundant in Hoboken. I was so happy to be there that I knew that I was one step closer to meeting my person, because that feeling of home was there. I was 25 minutes away from my family. You know, I'm from Staten Island. I live in Staten Island now, but Hoboken being 25 minutes away, and I loved Hoboken, and I love Hoboken to this day, favorite city in the world. I just felt so good there because I felt like I got all my ducks in a row. I got all my businesses going. I'm getting more confident, more comfortable. I feel my best. I look my best. I'm dating like a pro. Like, so what? It didn't work out with this guy? On to the next. Like, I would feel excited that because I knew, it didn't work out with you, then now I'm excited to know that it's not you. And now I know that it's somebody else. And now I can't wait to meet the next guy. I can't wait to meet who it is. So instead of getting down on myself and being upset that, you know, it wasn't working out, I was just excited that it meant like there's someone else I'm going to meet. Like, I was so optimistic about what was to come. Now, keep in mind, like I just said, like February, you know, of 2022, that's when I turned 27. And so, you know, I moved to Hoboken October 2021, January, right before I turned 27, I started the TikTok. So like 27 years old, guess what? I'm starting over again because I'm now in a new city. I'm now doing these new, you know, business things. I'm now dating new guys. So let's pull back for a second. What did I say? I had this timeline in my head that by 27, I'm on to kid number 2 or 3 at this point. Because I was supposed to be married at 25 and start having kids. So by 27, I'm already a kid or two deep, you know? So that's what I thought for myself. But in reality, at 27, I'm still starting over. I'm still single. I'm now in a new city. I'm now meeting a whole new pool of guys. Like, there was nothing. I had not, like, I was legitimately starting from zero at 27 years old, all over again. But I was so optimistic and I felt so good. And I just knew I was going to meet him there. And I went through that whole year having that feeling, dating lots of guys, never getting upset, just constantly ready for the next. January 2023, I get a DM asking if I want to be set up. That DM came from a complete stranger, and the person that she wanted to set me up was a complete stranger. And by the way, one thing that just came to my mind, I don't know why, but I remember right before that Christmas of 2022. I remember the day after Christmas Day, so December 26th, that I made a TikTok talking about like how I felt really lonely because I was like, you know, Christmas is my favorite time of year. Anyone who knows me knows how obsessed I am with Christmas. Like, I live for Christmas. It's just the best. But the day after Christmas, when everything dies down, who are you with? You know, school is still out. People are off from work. Everyone's just hanging out at home. Who am I with? I was home alone. And I was always alone, you know, after Christmas because everybody goes to be with their families, you know? Because now you're with the whole family Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you know, but then everyone goes to their respective houses after that. And it's like, now Christmas is over. So it's just time to like decompress and relax. And I just remember December 26th feeling like very lonely that year, 2022. And saying, like, I hope that this is the last time I feel that way. Like, I can't wait to have my own family, my husband, my kids. Like, I couldn't wait. So that I didn't feel so lonely on December 26th. Fast forward a couple weeks, I believe it was January 17th when I got that DM. And then February 1st is when we met. And February 1st is 1 week before my 28th birthday, my birthday being February 7th. So then I met him 1 week before turning 28. And guess what? When we met, and after our date and we were sitting in his car talking, we both told each other that we reminded each other of home and that we felt like we knew each other forever. And also, let's keep something in mind. Where is this guy from that I got set up with, this stranger? My hometown, Staten Island. So I swore, you know, from 22, 23 that I would never be with a guy from Staten Island. And I went and I traveled and I moved Tampa, Miami, Hoboken. Now I'm in Hoboken and I get set up with a guy from Staten Island, my hometown. We both feel like home to each other. We both feel like we knew each other forever. The feeling that I was waiting for all those years when I kept saying something is missing, that was there from the first date. And I had great dating experiences. I went out with some really great guys. I liked them, you know, like, but there was still always like, that thing, you know, something is missing. That feeling that was lacking was very present and very abundant on that first date. And we both felt it. And we both told each other that it felt like we knew each other forever. And we really reminded each other of that feeling of home. And what do you say? The rest is history. I mean, 2 months after we met and started dating, I moved back to Staten Island. We did not move in with each other. We did not live together until recently when we got engaged, but I did move back to Staten Island. That wasn't necessarily what I wanted, but what had happened was I wanted to stay in Hoboken, but what happened was my landlord was raising my rent a lot, like pretty high, and only gave me 30 days. He didn't give me 2 months. He didn't give me what I felt like would be enough time to like really look and stay in Hoboken and try to figure it out. You know, I had 4 weeks, and when I was moving all these other times, like I spent my time looking, like figuring out, like, and I just felt very rushed. And I feel like it's not what I wanted, but what have I been saying? Like, you just have to honor what's right. You have to make the hard decision. You have to trust your gut. You have to trust yourself. And while it's not what I wanted, I felt like it was happening that way for a reason. Because I met him February 1st, loved Hoboken, was living there. And then in April, was it in April? I moved. Yeah, because I moved in May. Yeah, so in April, I got the email. Or was it May? No, it was May. Yeah, because we were dating for like 2 months, you know? And so May 1st, I got the email that the rent was going to be raised for June 1st. And that I had the decision up until the last day of May to either stay or sign the new lease to, you know, go to the raised rent. I will never forget when I got that email. I was panicking. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, this is where I want to be. I really wanted to stay there. And I had to think about it and I had to trust myself. And the way that it worked out was that now my fiance, but the guy that I had just, you know, met that I just knew for 2 months was like, listen, if you are ready to go back to Staten Island, I have a place for you. I have a place right away that I could get you in there. And it just was like, I just felt like it was happening for a reason. And it may not have been what I wanted at that moment because I was not ready to leave Hoboken. But knowing what I know now and looking back now, it's the reason why our relationship worked out the way that it did. Because I moved back to Staten Island. We got to spend constant time together because now we lived really close to each other. I was super happy because now I'm also with my family. Like, I loved Hoboken and I was close to my family, but there's nothing like being in the hometown with your family, like, you know, right there. So everything worked out. I had a true feeling of home because I was legitimately home. I'm with the first guy ever that, like, I really truly want to be with. I'm with my family. Like, he had the place ready for me right then and there. So I technically had until, you know, June 1st, but I actually moved within 2 weeks because it just worked out. Like, I moved on like May 15th. It just worked out that way. He had a place ready for me. And I was like, this guy is practically a stranger, but we were together by then, you know, we were like exclusively together. And I was like, just hope that this all works out. If not, I'm going to figure it out and go back to Hoboken. But it worked out. And I feel like our relationship worked out because of that. And I had that gut feeling and I had to listen to that gut feeling. I was very upset to leave Hoboken, but so much of your journey and getting to the next step is doing the hard thing and doing what you don't want to do, but it feels like the right thing to do. And that's what felt like the right thing to do. And look at that. I was 28. I moved again. So now I'm in my fourth place, starting fresh, starting from zero at 28 years old. But I was supposed to be married with kids by then. Womp, womp, womp. And guess what? Over the next 2 years, we built, not even 2 years, because it was only a year and a half, we had built a beautiful relationship and we got engaged. And then, yeah, 2 years in, you know, to our relationship, now we're living together, now we're getting married. It's crazy, but that's life. And now I'm 30 years old and I'm getting married and I'm not going to have kids until after this. So I'm not going to have kids until I'm 31 years old. Like, what are you going to do? I could not live my life miserable and so centered around finding a partner. I had to live my life happy and centered around myself and chasing that happiness and chasing the feelings that I knew that I had. Like, I couldn't ignore those feelings. I had to honor the fact that, like, I wasn't at my complete potential. I wasn't at my happiness, my happiest. Something did feel like it was missing. I had to trust that and I had to lean into that. And yes, I deeply desired a husband and kids and, you know, the whole thing. I deeply always desired love. But what was I going to do? Tell myself, nope, I'm 25. I'm staying in Tampa. I'm going to make it work here. Nope, I'm 26. I'm staying in Miami. I love it here. It might not be the place that I really think that is for me, but I'm going to stick it out for years because I need to. I signed this 2-year lease. I need to stay for the 2 years. I'm already older than I wanted to be. I need to stick it out. What was I going to say? I'm 27. I'm in Hoboken. What was I going to do? Tell myself, you know what? Nope, I'm not moving again. I'm 28 years old now. So what that he's raising my rent? I'm 28. I refuse to start all over again. I refuse to move again. I need to stay put. I need to... What the fuck does my age matter? What does it matter? Because time's going to go by and you're going to get older anyway. So get older, being stubborn and saying, I'm not leaving, you know, because I don't want to start over again. Or get older and chase your happiness and chase the feelings that like you deserve to feel. You know, it is okay to deeply desire love, marriage, children, the whole thing. But your worth and your life is not dependent on it. And it is not defined by how soon those things arrive for you, not how easily that you get it. Sometimes people are luckier than others. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's not easy to date. It doesn't happen quickly for everybody. You're not failing because you haven't met a guy yet, because you haven't fallen in love yet. You're not failing because you haven't hit certain milestones yet. Okay? Honor yourself. Listen to your gut. Listen to your intuition. Take the steps toward the life that you want. Invest in the mentors, you know, make the move, do the hard thing, start the passion projects like I did. Do everything, but release the need to control everything. Do it all, but do not try to control it all. Do not put the pressure on yourself that everything has to get done at a certain time. Okay? Most of like the best things that ever happened in my life are the things that I did not plan, the things that I would have never been able to account for, the things that I would have never expected to happen. Life very rarely happens that way. It very rarely plays out exactly how we plan it or exactly how we imagine it. But it will always turn out the way it's meant to. And what's meant for you is typically better than what you thought it would be. One of those things that Crystal, that she said to me that always stuck with me from our sessions was, it's this or something better. So look at what you're presented and then say that. It's this or something better. So now what's in front of you? Is this what you want? Because if it's not this, it's something better. And I could think back, you know, to that guy I was seeing and I'm like, no, it's not this. I know he's not the one. So I knew it was something better. So that's why when she said to me, if you know it's something better, then why are you even wasting your time on it? That's why I had that breakthrough of like, I could get my something better right now. Why do I have to wait for something better to just appear? I could just start going for it. I could just start making the moves, you know? And I think something that's also really important to like note in general is just like, I had so much fun in all these places. Like I did all the things I wanted to do. I traveled, I started businesses, I made a lot of money, I took on hobbies, I was into fitness at some points, maybe not every point, but I did fitness at some points. I, you know, would go out to the restaurants I wanted to go and I would take myself on solo dates and I would do things alone. I would travel alone. I would go out to dinner alone. I would go out to lunch alone. Like I did everything. I know I like mention a lot and may sound like I'm harping on the fact that like there were points where I just felt like something was missing and that I was unhappy, but like I wasn't necessarily unhappy. Like I loved where I was. I was having a lot of fun. It just was that feeling in the back of my head, that feeling deep in my gut. Like I wasn't faking having a good time. Like if you were following me on social media and you could see I was always doing this and that. Like, I really was doing it all. Like, I was living my life like, so what if I'm single? What am I going to do? Curl up in a ball and hide in the corner until somebody comes and picks me? No, I'm going to do everything I want to do anyway. You have to live your life completely content and completely happy and know that a partner is just an addition. They are just an added value. They are not the thing that, like, can determine your life's purpose and happiness, you know, like I lived such an abundant and beautiful life before I met my fiance. Yes, my life changed for the better, and I feel like he completes me, but I didn't live my life just sitting around every day, like hoping like today's the day. I just was optimistic that it was coming, especially when I lived in Hoboken. I was like, I know he's coming, so I'm just going to sit back and, you know, do my thing, and I'm going to love my life, and I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to be obsessed with myself, and I'm going to water myself, and I'm going to spoil myself in every possible way and do everything that I ever wanted. And when he finds me, he finds me. That's how I lived my life, and that's how you have to live your life. Saying, what if I don't meet him until I'm 30? What if I don't meet him until I'm 40? What if I don't meet him till I'm 50? Then what? What am I going to do? Say you're 22 and you have this timeline in front of you. And then as the years go by, you're like, I'm not achieving the timeline. I'm not doing the things that I wanted. What if you don't meet him then until you're 40 and now you're 22 and you have 18 years of singleness ahead of you? I was single for 10 years. What are you going to do? You cannot live your life according to a made-up timeline. You must live your life obsessed with yourself, in love with yourself, obsessed with your life, in love with your life, and do anything and everything that you've ever wanted and be content doing it alone. There's a couple things that I want you girls to journal. I also really think that anyone watching this should get my digital confidence stuff. I have the Queens of Confidence digital program, and I have the workbook for the girls who want more. As I've been saying things, like there are certain things that I've said that trigger the thought of like what I said in the Queens of Confidence and then like what I journaled in the workbook for the girls that want more. These two things are really powerful. I'll give anyone a discount code for the Queens of Confidence who wants it. So if you want to do the Queens of Confidence, the 8-week program, the digital program, message me and I'll give you a discount code. There's no discounts for the workbook. It's literally $29 and you'll have it for life. $29, get it. It's 90 pages. You will absolutely love it. I have girls who are like, they're like, that workbook changed my life. I didn't think it would, but it did. Workbook is right on the website. But yeah, if anyone wants a discount code for the Queens of Confidence, let me know because I'll send it to you. But before we wrap, I just want to give you girls just a couple of journal prompts. I want you to definitely journal the questions. What do I feel like I'm behind on? And where did that belief come from? So it's like a 2-part question. What do I feel like I'm behind on? Where did that belief come from? And I want you to really dig deep as you possibly can, and like brain dump it all. And then follow it by a few just like quick like journal affirmations. I'm not behind. I'm in process. Okay. Write that as many times as you have to until you freaking believe it. I'm not behind. I'm in process. My pace is perfect for me. My pace is perfect for me. I am never late to what is meant for me. And what is meant for me is never late. Okay. I am never late to what is meant for me, and what is meant for me is never late. The right things are finding me at the right time. The right things are finding me at the right time. And lastly, I trust my unfolding. Okay. I trust my unfolding. So girls, just know that you are not broken, you are not behind, and you are not out of time. You are certainly not out of time because the right things are finding you at the right time. You are never late to what is meant for you. What is meant for you is never late. It will always show up on time, and there will always be space for what you want. There is space for your dreams, even if they have not arrived yet, no matter what they look like. Keep showing up. Keep making the hard decisions. Keep trusting yourself. Keep following your gut. Keep listening to your intuition. Keep becoming the dream version of yourself. Keep doing all of the things that make you happy. Keep chasing that feeling of happiness and home and wholeness and whatever else feels right for you. And anything that does not feel right, just know that it is not right. So leave it alone and let it go. Release it. Thank you so much for listening. If you have not yet, please leave a 5-star rating and a review wherever you listen. If you are watching on Spotify, you can leave 5 stars on the show as a whole, and you could also leave a comment on each episode. So please leave a comment on this episode letting me know what you think, and leave an episode leave a comment on every episode that you girls listen to or watch. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave 5 stars and an overall review on the entire show on the podcast page. If you are watching on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And that is all that we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.